right, very good. Welcome to the Media Bids Power Hour. This is Ernest with Power Hour and Jed with Media Bids, and we are delighted that all of you are here. We have a very full call. We've had 17 pages of questions that came in prior to this call. We have a huge turnout. Today we're going to be talking about my ad isn't working, and I have an opening story for all of you that will take me back to the 80s. But I'm going to hold on that for just a moment because we want to welcome you and greet you and just share our excitement that you're here with us. Please know we ask you to not multitask during the course of this next hour. Try to shut things down around you. Try to find a quiet place. Get out your pen and be making notes. We've got a lot to cover, and we'll talk about actually pen in hand and how that relates to selling and sales and so forth. And we're going to cover a lot of information. Please know you can send an email to ernest@powerhour.com over the course of this call, and we'll weave those questions in addition to the ones that have already been rolled in. But without any further ado, Jed, the reason for the season, man, say hello to the group and give us a hello and tell us a little bit about Media Bids and your work with publishing companies, and then we're going to launch right into my ad is not working.
Great. Just real quickly, thank you all for joining us. I want to especially thank Ernest. He brings the majority of the knowledge to these calls, and I sort of try to keep up. So without him, these would not be nearly as interesting or as informative. MediaBids is a marketplace. We buy and sell newspaper and magazine advertising. It's a good way to reach advertisers that you're not otherwise reaching, a good way to sort of create an alternative revenue stream for yourself or for your publication. You can always learn more about us at mediabids.com. And any of the follow-up emails also will include our contact information as well as our website address. So, again, thanks for joining us, and look forward to talking about making ads work better.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Jed. And thank you for all of the help, the support behind the scenes to June and your team for making this all possible. It's always a delight to work here together. And frankly, knowing all the years that we've spent working together with publications and working on these calls going back over the last 4 and 5 years, it's been fantastic. For all of you, my name is Ernest. My company is Power Hour. I started in publishing and publications in the mid-80s. I've done this for a very, very long time. And for the last 14 years, I work with publishing companies by phone, like we're doing here, by email in between our calls, and we help our clients win and we help our clients succeed, both in the coaching and training related publications. We have a recruiting arm of our company. We have an investment banking division that helps our clients buy and sell publications. And we have an entire search engine optimization, search engine marketing. We know exactly how to bring people to your website and how to set up your website so that you can make money. And you have to be doing that, which is a beautiful segue into our call and into our program here today. We are going to talk about my ad is not working. I don't know about all of you, but those words just kind of ring in my ears. We've probably woken up in the middle of the night in a cold sweat going, what did Nancy say yesterday afternoon? My ad is not working. I promised you an opening story. I was in the Central Valley of California, and I had a publication. It was called Clip and Save Coupons. I had a real estate publication. I had an apartment publication. And, in fact, for all of you that have ever seen the racks, those wire metal racks, as you go out the exit door of grocery stores, drug stores, convenience stores, I founded those. I did that in the Central Valley of California. It sprung out to Los Angeles. And in the next life, I actually worked for Distributech and Prime Media, and we took those rack programs coast to coast. It was designed to be a very community service. It went on to become something wildly different and very, very expensive, as all of you know today. But the point is this. I ran an ad for an advertiser, and it was a carpet cleaning service. And the name of the owner was Kang Kun, and he was Asian. I don't know if he was Japanese, Jed, or Chinese, and he had a very heavy accent. And I ran his ad and ran for a couple of weeks, and I get a phone call, and it went something like this, and I can hear it to this day. Mr. Oriente, it's Kang Kun. No response. Mr. Oriente, no response. Kang Kun, please call me. Okay? I can still repeat his accent, Jed, and his words, and that was it. Kang Kun let me know that his ad for his carpet cleaning service was not working. And for all of you to know, I am sure you have your own stories related to this. My ad is not working. And so today we're going to talk about, is this a real sales objection or just smoke? We're going to talk about in the second part of our call, what is the most important way to know that an ad is working, and how do you know 100% an ad is working for your advertisers. And then the third point, we're going to talk about explaining return on investment, ROI, and how to showcase this versus your direct publication competitors, okay? So as we start, point number one, is this a real sales objection or just smoke? I am certain all of us have heard this a zillion times. I was actually working with a client of mine, and we were making a sales presentation about a week ago to an advertiser, and I was joining them, and I was doing some coaching and training, unbeknownst to the client, and we get to the middle of the presentation, and the advertiser, his name is Bruce, and Bruce says to my client, gee, bottom line, I was really expecting better from your publication. I really was expecting you to do a better job for me. And my client began to explain, but boy, we're doing this, and gee, the publication is here, and gee, this is also, and Bruce pressed back one more time and said, I really was expecting bigger things, and frankly, I'm disappointed. My client stepped in and said, well, that's interesting, because we've generated 138 inbound leads for you in the last 90 days. Were you aware of that? Call got stone silent. Bruce said, I was not. Can you show me how I can see that so that I can validate what you're doing? We proceeded to show them that, show them the website, gave them the username, gave them the password, and there, sure enough, were the 130-plus leads, okay? I cannot tell you how wonderful it was to take a sales meeting, as all of us have been on, and for any of us advertising sales pros, for me it's 2-plus decades of either doing it firsthand or coaching clients all over the world to do it. And while each of you and any of you and many of you may feel you're all alone, it must just be me, it must just be my clients, it must just be my sector, my publication, my circulation, my distribution, or my advertisers, that is false. My ad is not working is smoke, but perception is reality. And until you have the education and the tools and the resources to reverse that meeting, to have a meeting go where an advertiser is pressing on you, telling you they're disappointed, they're not happy, and you pause and say, well, gee, here are my stats, how do they match with yours, and the call goes silent or the meeting goes silent, until you've had an opportunity to drink from that cup, to savor that experience, you have never lived as an advertising sales professional. Jeff, you like the visual?
I did.
You haven't lived, baby. And I mean that to all of you. This is like religion. This is like, you know, you just pause and go, wow, I got to get passionate because I want to know what those tools are. The very essence of why all of you are here. The very essence of why we have a huge call here today. Okay? Because it is smoke. This piece about advertisers, they just come from this place. Sometimes it's some version of they just don't track. Sometimes it's a version of they just don't know. You know, gee, I gave you money, Jed, but, you know, let me just push back on you and just say, yeah, I'm not really happy, and maybe you'll give me even more. Or maybe I don't know, I'm embarrassed. Gee, Jed, I'm sort of stupid. I spent money with you, and I don't really know. Gee, can I tell you again how stupid I am? I mean, what advertiser is going to tell us that? Right?
Right. And what's in it for the advertiser to tell you that the ad worked great?
Oh, my gosh.
Right?
I mean, are you kidding me?
I mean, it's just sort of a nature of sort of consumerism,
mm-hmm.
right? The advertiser knows that by complaining about something, whether it's real or perceived, whether, you know, and as you mentioned, in most cases the data doesn't exist, but they know that it opens up the option for them to potentially, you know, mm-hmm. save money and get something more.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, well, how many advertisers have called and said, you've doubled my expectations. Could you double what you charge me? Right?
Right.
Exactly. Can you double what you charge me? That is not going to happen. Okay? So the bottom line is this. Number one, okay, when you hear an objection about an ad result, pen in hand, and I want every single one of you to have pen in hand today. Let's get rocking with it today. You cannot sell. You cannot field objections. You cannot handle objections and turn that into a sale unless you are writing. And I am the first one to tell all of you that I would rather be speaking rather than listening. That's why we're in sales. I want to run the show. But what I do know is that when the moment comes, where the rubber meets the road, When an advertiser says to me, my ad's not working and I'm not happy, my pen's in my hand, and I better start listening, okay? And I need to know what it is that they're going to say to me, okay? So I'm going to write those things down. So tell me a little bit, what part of the ad is not working? Is it the print portion? Is it the online portion? Is it the newsletter portion? Is it the walk-in traffic? Is it the coupons that are not coming in? Let's clarify that, and let me write that down. And if I'm doing it by phone, I'm going to say that. Jed, let me write that down. Okay, so the first piece is you're concerned about the web, and the second was the ad itself, and then the third was that, you know, the in-store traffic. Oh, I've got all three. Now I'm going to isolate. I'm going to isolate one by one by one. And you have to address it one by one by one. Because if not, if Jed says, I've got three problems with my ad, and I only address one or two, what just happened, Jed?
You haven't addressed all his concerns.
You bet. I haven't addressed your concerns.
Right?
I haven't addressed your concerns, so you're still not happy because I have not fully addressed. And, in fact, I don't even know which one is more important to you, the walk-in traffic or the coupons or the newsletter or the website or the print ad. So you have to write it down, you have to isolate it, and you've got to go one by one. Now, here's the key point, as I know you're all writing this down. The key point is, as you wrap up each point, so, Jed, let me just clarify. You're concerned about the click-throughs on the newsletter. Let's address that, and then the website, and then the in-store traffic. So we have three. Which Jed, would you like to cover first? In-store traffic? Beautiful. Let's go. And then I'm going to maybe spend, Jed, with you 5 or 10 or 15 minutes. I'm not going to finish in-store traffic, if that's what you're concerned about, until we're done, and I'm going to end it with some version of, Jed, are we cool on that? Or, Jed, does that make sense? Or, Jed, is there anything else you want to share with me about in-store traffic? Has this been helpful, what I've shared with you, about the sector, about our publication, about consumers, yada, da, da, da? And if I get you to say, and you affirm, hey, Ernest, that's great. That's really helpful. I wasn't aware of that. All right, great. Anything more on this point? Good. Let's go back to your website ad. Let's go back to your print ad. Okay? Let's go back to the competition. So you're going to isolate, and then you're going to close again. Let's continue down this path. Because so often what I have seen and observed over two-plus decades, myself in sales, managing sales teams, and now coaching sales teams all over the world, no matter what the genre, no matter what the industry, no matter what the sector, no matter what your frequency is, no matter what your competitive expectations are, we don't do a really good job of setting expectations up front.
Right.
Okay? Jed, you know what I'm talking about, right?
No, absolutely.
Setting those expectations up front. What are you expecting, Jed, from this ad?
Right.
How will you know, Jed, that the ad is working? Jed, how will you be tracking it up front? Up front. Because you see, what happens is, if we don't establish it up front, then we really don't know from the first moment an ad hits, no matter whether it's an e-newsletter, website, or print, or for the best of you, you have all three of those. We'll get to that in just a minute. Okay? In order to win, you have to have all three and be able to measure all three. All right? But in the end, Jed, if I don't know what you're expecting, or if I don't know how you're going to track, and I'm going to hear from you in 30 days saying, you know, Kang Kun, I'm not happy, no response, I really don't know what you're responding to.
Right, exactly. And it's hard to, you know, it's impossible to measure the success of an ad without knowing the definition of success.
Absolutely. I was once working with about a $100 million company. I was in Los Angeles, and I was sitting down with a buyer. Her name was Robbie Gluckson. Jed, I haven't said Robbie Gluckson in a sentence for probably 15 years, maybe even more. And I'm sitting down with Robbie, and she's telling me, oh, we've got great tracking, and oh, gosh, you know, we do a phenomenal job. We're the best ever, and we're a $100 million company, and we're in 40 states. And Ernest, you're like a fly in the back of our elephant. Yeah, I'll place an ad. And I just asked the words. You know, it's interesting, Robbie. I really appreciate that. I appreciate your trust and confidence in me. But I am curious, specifically here in Los Angeles, how will you know I'm doing the job up front? How will you know? Oh, Ernest, we've got the best computer system. We've got the best tracking system. We have every source of every ad we do coast to coast. Here, let me pull it up and show it to you. I said, wow, I'm impressed. Show it to me. Yeah, that'd be great. I said, can you show me just Los Angeles? Because I want to know that I'm going to do the job. Oh, Ernest, we've got every publication, and our team puts everything in there. And here, let me. Well, can you just show it to me? She goes, well, here's Los Angeles. Here's the LA Times. Here's the San Fernando Valley Chronicle. Here's, you know, each of the publications that are advertised. I said, yeah, but I don't see mine. She got stone quiet. She goes up the screen and down the screen. She goes, you're right. You're not here. I said, Robbie, it'd be impossible for me to get credit for the job I'm going to do unless I'm there. And the moral of that story is what? You got to know up front. How will you measure me? How will you know? How will you track? And do you have evidence of other scenarios where you did that before? So setting the expectations right up front, and also taking it a step further, selling your tracking. For those of you that are on this call that are using phone tracking, for those of you that are using tracking on your e-newsletter ads, certainly your web ads, all of those pieces, you present that up front so that the advertiser knows exactly what to expect. And as long as you present that up front, in fact, let's just talk about that for a moment. I would challenge every single one of you to have an entire page in your media kit that's nothing but tracking. Nothing but tracking. And this is a huge call. I would challenge anybody on this call to either send me an email or put that page of your media kit on my screen. I'm talking like in the next 60 seconds. Okay? Send it to Ernest@powerhour.com. Okay? I'd like to challenge this group. And if you can't send it and you're sort of squirming for a moment going, I can't and I'm not able to, you get my drift. How are you going to handle my ad isn't working if you haven't set the expectations with the advertisers up front? Jed, makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, do you even take that a step further and sort of, you know, talk about expectations in terms of the number of people that it should, you know, that it should generate on a, you know, in terms of number of phone calls, or is that down the line?
No, are you kidding? That question is perfect. Because that's exactly, in your media presentation, you're sitting down with an advertiser, and you're saying, gee, listen, why don't you tell me the velocity of leads and prospects you want to receive? Let me show you now what a quarter page will bring. That will bring, in your sector, on average, 15 to 18 calls. How do I know that? Because I've got the data from the last 6 months of my advertisers. You want to know what a half page is? It's 30 to 33. Let me show you the stats on that. And you want to know what a full page is? It's 60 to 75. By the way, just so all of you know, that's sort of what the range looks like. You might go intuitively, Ernest, if you go from a quarter to a half, you double the size, do you get the double the results? Absolutely. And I've been tracking that kind of data for 2 decades. All right? Same with e-newsletters. Same with web visibility. You want to be able to present, Jed, just to your point, the overall performance of your publication, your e-newsletter, and your website, the overall. Then you break it out by size of the ad or visibility or placement, for example, on the website. You can also measure that. And then you take it one more time, and you can slice it by the sector. I can show you restaurants versus professional services versus hotels. You can break it out by the sector as well. So as all of you are listening to this and you're going, what are they talking about today? Holy smokes, how could you lose when you got that kind of data? That's exactly the point. You can't. And all the data is there. The tracking of inbound calls, the phone tracking, which Jed and their team are masterful, the tracking of e-newsletters and clicks and website clicks, everything's there. And if you don't have that data, when an advertiser says my ad isn't working, you don't have a response. You have to reel back on your heels and say, here we go again. And if you're tired of that or you've experienced that, because I know I have, I spent probably 5 years of my corporate selling days on my heels and my tail tucked between my legs and some version of this is no fun. I can't believe I'm doing this. But I spent the last 2 decades being a scientist and looking at the laboratory of advertising sales and saying there has to be a way to quantify it. And today, all of you, Jed, you've heard this in past calls, we're living in the single greatest time in the history of civilization for advertising sales professionals. We got all the data, don't we, Jed?
Right. Yep.
We got everything. Look at Bruce, you know, Bruce in Boston and has 138 calls. Look at the number of clicks at your website, the number of inquiries coming in on lead forms. And for many of you that are on this call, I know, especially those who are our clients that we work with, that you have these tools, you're having fun. And it is fun. And you're experiencing advertising sales like many could never imagine. For those of you that are on this call that don't have the tools and resources, you pause and go, I'm not having as much fun. And it's true. Because when you get that response, my ad isn't working, you can't defend it. Okay?
You know, one thing, Ernest, just to piggyback on what you said that I think is worth noting here as well.
Please.
You know, we've talked about, we've sort of been assuming the best case scenarios, right? We're assuming that with this tracking, the results are always going to be good. And obviously, you know, like any type of advertising, it won't always be good.
Yep.
But it's worth pointing out that it's really a much, much different conversation and a much more constructive conversation when you can go to an advertiser and say, based on the data that we've collected on the ad that you've run, it didn't do very well. So what do we need to change here, right?
Yep.
It's a much different experience than having the advertiser call you or having a sales rep call the advertiser and say, hey, you want to buy another ad? And the person say, no, right?
Yep.
So it really sort of changes the dynamic, even in the worst-case scenario.
Absolutely. And listen, Jed, we have a huge call, and in comes an email from, and I'm just going to reference because the first letter is the letter K of this individual, who just sent me over a four-page presentation. And actually, I know this person's company, and I've actually worked with this company for 14 years. You're making me smile, participant K, because I'm looking at it loving life, because I knew you had what you had. So here is the point. I got one. I'm challenging one more or five more or 10 more. I want to see more. The point is, if you can't, that you're missing the opportunity to handle that with your advertisers. Jed, let's come back to your point, though. You are right. Let's pretend for just a moment we're working in a restaurant category, for example. And if I'm working in a restaurant category and I know that I've got 10 quarter pages, right, and let's pretend that they're all averaging, for example, 20 inbound calls a month, and I get a new advertiser, and by the way, many of you ask this question. Okay, so we had this question, Jed, we've got 17 pages of questions. This question was a biggie, okay? What do I do when the ad stinks? What do I do when there's a bad ad? Or what do I do when there's bad results? Well, guess what? When you have the data and you know that restaurants that are quarter pages are averaging 20 phone calls a month, and you have a new ad and a new advertiser who's averaging 5, you're not waiting for that advertiser to come to you to say, I'm not happy. This is where we go to them and say, look, I'm looking at my dashboard. Every quarter page advertiser, I've got 10 that are in my publication or they're in my newspaper or they're in my magazine, and I'm looking at yours and I'm concerned. I'm coming to you, Jed, to tell you that I'm not happy that 5 inbound calls when everybody else is averaging 20. I want to peel out all of the other 19. I want to make specific recommendations for yours. And I expect those changes to happen. It might be a change of photo. It might be a change of ad copy. It might be a change in the offering. I'm going to come to you. How many on this call have gone out to advertisers because you know that somebody is performing subpar? For example, those of you who work with financial planners, if the stock market is making 5% and you lost 5%, that's really easy to measure. And your financial planner needs to be coming to you to say, let me tell you why. Rather than you going to them to say, I'm not happy. They're supposed to be proactive. They get paid to bring you 5 and technically 6 or 7 if the market earns 5, not to lose 5. So you have to be proactive. Jed, does that answer your question? Because that question was a really common thread in the pre-call notes.
Right. No, I think it's, you don't really know just how good a conversation that can be until you've had a few of them.
Mm-hmm.
But I would endorse everything you said, that if, mm-hmm. if you're going to people with data and you have, you know, and you're looking out for their interest and you have their best interest in mind and you're,
mm-hmm.
you're proactively requesting that they think about changes,
mm-hmm.
it really does change the dynamic.
Absolutely. And I just want to acknowledge participant D. The letter D, fabulous. I'm loving your one pager because that's what I'm talking about. Thank you very much. I know your team and your company and your leader, actually your leader initials MB. We go back 21 years, so I'm loving it. So another example, Jed, that's rolling in that's showing exactly what we're talking about, okay? Now, let's continue on point number one. Remember as well, questions that you have, send them to earnest@powerhour.com. We'll tuck them right into our program. We've weaved in many of your questions that have already come in advance. Recognize that in terms of the ad, my ad isn't working. Is this a real objection or just smoke? Remember that whenever you're told a good story from advertisers, and Jed, to your point earlier, it's not often, it's not enough. When that we're told a good story, be certain to log that and make note of that in that client's folder, whether it's a manual file or an automated electronic one, or wherever you keep notes on that client. When they told you, I had a banner year, my revenue is up, we just had a big sale and you're the reason for it, we just sold six RVs as a result of your publication, I just got two new clients from my CPA firm, whatever it is, be certain you make note of it because you may need that at a later date. Buyers will forget, and that's when you can come back and say, gee, do you remember when you said to me on November the 18th, let's see, no, November the 19th, the 19th, you said we sold six RVs. What do you mean you're not continuing to advertise? So make note of those things. Also, recognize that we must, which is what we've been talking about, we must sell the combination of print, web, and newsletter together. We'll talk a little bit more about that in the course of our call here. But as you're thinking about those kinds of results, remember that when you're advertising, people will make a phone call. They will come to your location. They'll look at your website. You can measure website traffic. Prospects will send an email, another way to measure. Okay, a coupon can be brought in, no doubt. All right, your revenue or profits are up. Okay, those are all good indicators that you're rocking. Okay. So long as we're talking about this, there were probably 25 or more, Jed, comments about no budget. Right? Jed, we've heard that one too. We might as well address that at the same time, right? No budget. Sorry, we have no budget for your publication this year. Smoke? Right. Smoke or truth, Jed?
Well, I think, you know, obviously there are circumstances where people don't have the budget. But I think,
correct?
I think that it's, more often than not, just a way of saying, I don't think it's going to perform well for me.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely correct. You know, if you sit down with an advertiser or a potential advertiser and you say, hey, listen, I don't want to sell you an ad. I want to talk about making you $10,000 or $50,000 or $500,000, okay? Suddenly their eyes perk up, okay, and they go, wow, I'm paying attention. How are we going to go do that? Okay, and they will find a way to do it, okay? This is about creating value, okay, about creating value. And the simplest visual, and Jed, we've done this in the past along the way, but Jed, I'm holding up a key in my hand. This is about value. Jed, I'd like $10,000 for this key. It's just a key. Are you interested in spending 10 grand for that key?
No.
No, of course not. Okay, that's some version of I have no budget. I don't have the budget for that. Now if I said, Jed, I'm holding a key, and it's $10,000, and it's the key to a $500,000 home. You got 10 grand?
Right. Yes.
Right?
Right.
You do. All of a sudden, you're barreling through this phone line, you know, grabbing for that key, and you maybe want to spend 20 grand because you know with 20 grand, you're going to go own something called $500,000 home. All right? Look at the difference in the value. We as advertising sales professionals have to create that same value, that same urgency, and you do it by having trackable information and data and measurable results. And in the world today, you have to bring that to the table. You have no other choice. And if you're competing against a competitor who has their numbers dialed in, you will never win. You will never win. Conversely, if you have yours dialed in, you will always win, okay? One more quick note about advertising, because many of you asked, we probably had 30 or 40 questions about advertising in a recession, okay? And I will send this out as a follow-up to our call, but there's all kinds of stats going all the way back to the 1920s done by Harvard Business Review, looking at those that continued to advertise through the downturn, and those who did had the most success in the upturn. Then there was research that continued in 1949, 54, 58, and 61. And without exception, the sales and profits dropped of companies that cut back on advertising. Okay? And even when the recovery began, those companies that lagged behind still were dragging. Then they did the research again in 74 and 75. And those who did not cut advertising during those recessions experienced higher sales and higher net income. They go on to quote stories of Coors Light, Bud Light, Pizza Hut, McDonald's, Taco Bell, Jiffy Peanut Butter, Kraft Salad Dressing. You get our drift here for all of you that are listening. There are wonderful success stories that talk about that Pizza Hut sales rose 61%. Taco Bell rose 40%, okay, tied to the recession in 89 and 91. Okay, at the same time, reducing McDonald's sales by 28%. These are named brand companies where research was done. Some took the higher road and advertised and continued to market, and others did not. And those that did not suffered and still continue to suffer. And I'll send that and include that, Jed, when we wrap up our call here. All right, let's move to point number two. What are the most important ways to know that an ad is working? How do you know 100% an ad is working for your advertisers? We've been talking about number one, that the ad has a unique phone trackable number. There are some of you that are on this call that are in sectors that have advertisers that place three ads, and every single publication, web ad, newsletter, every single one has a trackable number. You know who you are. There are others on this call that are going, what are you talking about? Okay? And it will say to all of you, for those of you that are watching closely, the billions that Google is bringing in, they track every click, they track inbound calls, and they are doing it. This is no longer leading or bleeding edge. In fact, if you are not working with specific trackable numbers, you cannot succeed in our economy and in this business sector today, starting with you don't have any data to sell and present. That you can't say to an advertiser, let me show you the results from your print ad, 138. Let me show you the unique clicks from the newsletter. Let me take you to the website, and I'll show you the clicks, the email leads that came to you, and also the calls that came from the website, which is a separate number. Okay? This is a very comprehensive approach, but this is how you win, and this is the only way to handle my ad isn't working. There is no other way. Jed, how about some words just for the group? I mean, my gosh, I know all the work you and your company do related to tracking and trackable numbers, and I know you know exactly what I'm talking about here.
Right. I mean, just before we get to that, I just want to pick up on one thing you said, because I think it's really important, and that is that, you know, one of the things that Google and Yahoo have gotten really, really right is that they have convinced people who use their services that they are not paying for advertising, that they are paying for response. They're paying for, in their case, clicks, or in some cases phone calls. And as a result of that, it changes the way that advertisers think about the money that they're spending. They look at a newspaper or a magazine and they see, you know, an ad of theirs. It doesn't, to them, they're buying something which is sort of an expensive piece of paper. For Google and Yahoo, they're buying something which is response. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to charge your customers based on response, but by including some of the stuff that Ernest has been talking about, some of the response mechanisms into your ad and showing people the response they get, you know, you change the way that they think about the ad. It no longer becomes just buying real estate, so to speak, in your publication. It becomes buying the end result, right? Buying what ends up happening as a result
Perfect.
Of that ad.
Yep.
And it makes a big difference.
Absolutely. And I want to comment. I see a question that's come in about, you know, I'm missing the point on the tracking system. Let me be clear. This means that when you place an ad, a quarter page ad, eighth of a page, full page, and there's a phone number on that ad, Tori, I'm seeing your note on that. Yes, there is a unique trackable number. It's a toll-free number, and that trackable number means that call goes, you pick up that phone, you call that company, and it just goes boom, transparently right into the office. And then when we're talking about e-newsletter, to clarify, that when you have an e-newsletter that goes out to the readers of your publication, the ads that go on the top and around the right-hand side of the e-newsletter, those are sellable positions. You can measure and count those clicks. And then at a website, assuming that you're also and by the way, let me backtrack. For those of you that do not have an e-newsletter, you need one, mandatory. For those of you that have known me over the last 14 years, all of my clients have them. And for those of you who don't, you need that. It goes out to the readers of your publication. It's a very measurable way of knowing the results you're driving. And the most important part is then when you go look at your web stats, it's like looking at an EKG, like an echocardiogram. Pulse, 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 pulse. Every time your newsletter comes out, your web visit spike, and you sell that. And you sell that visual. And then on the tracking side as well, again, back to this question, on the tracking side as well, you also have the ability to track the number of clicks on those ads and even the number of leads where people fill out a form, and then that form goes directly to your advertisers, okay? So you need all three parts. So, Tori, thank you for your question. Again, let's see. I also see the note that just came in. Manuel, I'm looking at yours on your tracking and media kit. Golden. Golden. Capital G, golden. This is exactly. And frankly, I used to live in the city where you are. I know exactly your publication. I even know the street where your office is. So thank you so much for sending that over. Okay, so going back to how else do you know, you can look at clients, Google Analytics. You can look at the stats that you're going to provide them. You can look at the stats of your publication versus your competitors, okay? And when you have competitors who don't also have the tracking in place, it's like taking candy from a baby. I'm telling all of you, and we're telling all of you, you cannot lose to your competitors when you have the pieces in place that we're talking about. Conversely, though, if you have a marketplace where you are competing with competitors, and I know some of you on this call are, that everybody brings everything to the table, okay, then you've got to take a step back and go, wait a minute, I need to be really clear, what are my competitive advantages, okay, and where are we different? And then you have to go back to your circulation, your distribution, your readership, the placement of your publication, your electronic visibility, all of those things, okay? So, and then just in closing, related to the second point, we talked a little earlier, Jed, about, what do you do when an ad's not performing, or what do you do when you have a bad ad, right? I mean, you know, I've seen plenty of ads, and there are some ads that either A are not pulling. You know this on the whole pay per click side, but on the some ads are not pulling. You revise them, right? A little sample and a little testing, but you have to get out in front of it and tell those advertisers that the ad's not going to pull. Correct?
Right.
Very.
And the thing is that anyone who believes that they know what works in any advertising, but specifically mm-hmm. in print advertising. Because there are minor changes that can be made to an ad that have a large impact that seem somewhat illogical, and until you really can look at data and compare group A to group B, mm-hmm. it's very difficult to know whether what is causing the difference in response.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Let me circle back, Tori. Your follow through question says, what if it is only print ads? Every ad has a phone number in the ad that calls us. Yeah, let me clarify. And for everybody, thank you so much, Tori, because your question is very appropriate. If you have 20 advertisers in your publication, you provide as part of your advertising package a unique tracking number. And that tracking number is unique for every one of those advertisers. And then it's pointed right to the local phone number or wherever that office is, or company is, or store is, whatever it is, you know, in your particular advertiser case, that every single advertiser has their own unique. One of the best examples for any of you to go take a look, in your market, go look at any real estate publication, go look at any automotive publication, go look at any apartment publication, go to any of those racks, in the grocery stores, anywhere, wherever you are, there's probably a grocery store within 5 minutes of where you're all standing today, or each of you are standing today. Go pull a publication and go actually look at those unique toll-free numbers, okay? There are certain sectors where this is the Bible, where this is the gospel, where this is the absolute. You don't function in some of these sectors without your tracking in place, and then without the e-newsletter in place, and then without the web stats in place. They live it and breathe it and walk it and talk it. And this is a sector that's been doing it for 10 years. If you're in those sectors and you're not doing it, you can't even survive. But taking that model, and which a model which I understand extremely well, and been helping clients develop this behind the scenes for more than a decade, taking that model into your sector is what we're talking about here today. Taking it into your sector where you can absolutely take your advertisers by storm and bowl over competitors like you've never done, to be able to sell like you've never, to be able to renew and keep advertisers. When I was on that call last week and my client says, hey, listen, Bruce, how about the 138 leads we brought you? And the call went silent. Guess what? That sale was done. That was done. Okay, instead of some version of my ad's not working. So, Tori, very, very helpful. And thank you to all of you for the questions that continue to come in. We'll continue to work and weave them into our meeting here. Let's see.
And by the way, if people have questions after the call about, mm-hmm. you know, the actual mechanics of an 800 number or unique URLs or any of that, you know, I'd be happy to answer them. It's really pretty basic stuff, but if you haven't been through it before, it can seem a little bit confusing.
Absolutely. And Jed, quite honestly, I know you know volumes about the tracking piece. And frankly, if any of you would like to learn more about tracking numbers or tracking services, you can certainly reach out to Jed and his team. They do a wonderful job, and they know all about this. My words for all of you are, A, you must have it, and then B, then you go sell with it. Then you go service with it. Then you go renew with it. And that's what we're talking about here today. That's the only way to win. Let's talk. Let's roll to the third point. And just so all of you know, in about 10 or 12 minutes or so, we're going to wrap up the formal portion of our meeting. Then we're going to explain some instructions for us to informally open this up to you and field some of your questions real time. Okay? So we've been fielding some of them by email, and we'll field some more by audio at the end of this call. Okay? We'll hang out for a few minutes here. So let's talk about number three. How do you explain return on investment to your advertisers? What are the ways to showcase your ROI versus your direct publication competitors? Well, the first part is that you know the number of, assuming that you have all of the tracking pieces in place, that you know the average number of inbound phone prospects per month. Okay? You also, if you have all of this in place, know the average number of prospects that you brought from your e-newsletter that you sold to advertisers. And for those of you that have your website configured from a revenue perspective, which you absolutely need to have, and it's the work that we do so much with our publishing clients, you also know the results of what's happened at their website. You've optimized your website. You're driving revenue. And you can actually sit down with advertisers and show them exactly the number of inbound calls, the number of clicks from your newsletter, and the number of leads that are coming from your website. And then you can compare that to the competitors, to the competition. You can also calculate some things like cost per lead. You can also talk about cost per sale or cost per net profit. So you can really get granular, and if you know up front that the average RV that's being sold, that they're making $10,000, and that you know that you generated 12 prospects at your website and 18 leads coming in by phone, and then you can match, your advertiser can match them up to buyers, they'll tell you exactly what they brought in. They spent $1,500 with you, and they made $40,000 this month. High five, you're doing a great job. Okay? But if you don't set those expectations up front, then it's tough to do it on the back end.
You know, another good question to ask them is on average, and this is sort of goes to kind of what we would call close rate, is you know, how many customers does it take to make a sale on average? You know, and most businesses will know this, or at least think they know it, and give you an idea. And if you can get this information prior to them advertising, or at least prior to when you begin tracking, then even before you give them the results, you can have a pretty good idea of the revenue that you may have generated, or the ad may have generated for them.
Absolutely. Actually, to that point, I want to tuck in a quick question that just came in from Angela. So what do you do from an old advertiser, and they said, listen, I ran with you in the past, and the ad didn't work. And Angela, that's perfect. That's a dovetail behind this. And you know what I'd say straight up? You're right. It may or may not have, and we had no way to track it back then, but we do now. Or you ran in the past, And sorry, we didn't have all of those pieces in place, but we've had this in place. You're in the restaurant sector, and if we're talking about a quarter page or a half page ad, let me tell you what other restaurants are doing for our in our publication. I can qualify and quantify exactly what's happening. Now I'm asking for your ad back. Okay? Man, is that strong. Because I know, going back to sell advertisers, Angela, when an ad didn't work, man, that's like a triple sale. Well, will you come back again? Well, will you try us again? Gee, I know it didn't work in the past, but it's better now. Oh, will you buy from me? Maybe, you know, you didn't like the last, you know, ad person. I hate those answers. Those are terrible answers. I don't want to sell on my heels. Man, I'd rather stay under the covers every morning. I don't want to get out and go work with that kind of heat and that kind of, you know, negativity. And if you look at your own prospect base, you look down and go, gosh, I got 50 like that. Well, that's because there's no new news. There's nothing you can give them that's going to convert them. There's no, you haven't given them a reason to reconnect with you. Okay? So, Angela, that's a great, great point. Let's also talk about in terms of the ROI, because we did an entire call about ROI earlier this year. And for those of you that have been to the MediaBids website, you can go and listen to it. It was entirely dedicated to the return on investment. But also know that you can measure, as we talked about earlier, by industry. I can, you know, hey, listen, let me just look at the hospitality. You're a hotel. Let me look at the hospitality sector. Let me look at the restaurant sector. Let me look at the automotive. So you can go, you know, or you can even do it by geography. You can say, wow, you know, advertisers in the northwest section of Dallas are doing this. The southeast are doing that. You can take it a step further and go, why is it that the northwest is pulling 50% better than the southeast? Maybe I need to go beef up my distribution. Okay? Or for those of us that have circulation, whether it's newspapers or direct mail, you know, maybe I need to go work on my list or my subscribers. Or maybe that tells my marketing department where I need to go beef up some of my work there because I'm not pulling as well from either this profile or this age group or this geography or in that sector. All right. So the beautiful part about tracking is there's an art and a science. And now you can talk to your marketing team, your distribution, your circulation, because now you can analyze these numbers. So, Jed, if I'm trucking along and my, you know, my restaurants are doing fantastic, you know, but my professional services, my attorneys and my CPAs aren't doing well in my business publication, now I can measure and show my marketing team why. You follow me on that?
Right. No, it's a
okay.
Great point.
So excellent questions rolling in related to ROI. But you're able to show it in a very nuts and bolts. You're able to say, you spent $1,500. Here's the number of leads. The cost per lead is blank. You told me that you made $10,000 a sale for every RV. Let's run through the calculations. Let's go look at the 18 people who called in. Let's go match up their names to your prospects and sales. Let's go look at the lead forms, the leads that came in from our website. I've got 18 of them. I printed them out for today's meeting. I mean, this is like really good stuff. Really, really good stuff. Okay? So ROI is measurable and very definable. And then, of course, you challenge your competitors to produce the same. That's the key point. Okay? So, Jed, I have about 10 minutes before the top of the hour. How about some closing words for the group? I'm going to pause, and then we'll open up the call here, and we'll roll along to the top of the hour. Would that be okay?
Great. You know, again, I want to thank Ernest and thank everyone who joined us. Hopefully we hit on some of the points that you were expecting, and hopefully you learned something. Again, in terms of follow-up, if there's any questions about sort of the actual tracking mechanisms, we can certainly help in that regard. Again, we welcome all of you to check out MediaBids, and again, thanks for all of the knowledge that Ernest brings.
Thank you so much, Jed. It's an absolute pleasure, and to all of you, we hope you have a wonderful upcoming Thanksgiving with those you love and those who love you, and an upcoming wonderful holiday season. This will be our last call in this series for this year. We'll come back into January with a new set of topics, and of course, your topics and your questions inspire us, so please let us know what would be helpful. Jed, it's been a fantastic year working together. We'll be going into our fifth year next year doing these together, and thank you so much for all the work behind the scenes. So again, Jed with MediaBids, Ernest with Power Hour, we're going to pause this call and then talk about how to open it up and field some informal questions. So give me just a moment, Jed.